Dance now, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the Dead, said he. And I'll kill you all, wherever you may be. And I'll kill you all in the face, said me.
Oh my God, that is terrifying. Because yes, welcome to the Bitter End podcast with me, Todd Jordan.
And me, Tom Denny.
Because we are here to talk about Phantasm 3, Lord of the Dead.
Yeah, that's a fucking title that doesn't shit around. It's giving you some business.
Not just like the Earl of the Dead.
No.
He's not the civil servant of the dead.
He's not a Viscount.
No, he's the Lord of the Dead. He's Lord of them all. That can only be the big un himself, the tall man.
Yeah, he's back. He's back. Very excited for this third installment of the Phantasm franchise. We've just watched the trailer and... Ooh, doggy, I'm just going to say I'm very excited about watching this.
This trailer is absolute bedlam.
Yeah,
it's just like,
all happening.
It's like non-stop action. We've got car chases. We've got Ice Cream Man running around with a shotgun. We've got the original little boy back, no longer a little boy. He's running around. His brother seems to be back, the dead brother. There's more of the silver balls. There's a girl with nunchucks.
Yeah, like fucking like... Oh, yeah, loads of murder balls flying around. The nunchucks looks like that's going to be, yes. It also hints that it seems like we're going to get some answers about what the tall man's deal is. You see people going in and out of those, like, tuning fork portals and all kinds of shit. It just sounds like there's going to be a lot.
I really hope that our listeners, wherever they are, if you see a tall man, please ask him what his deal is.
Yeah, because we've been waiting, you know, we've had two films and I want more of his deal. So, I mean, things that have happened in this, obviously Reggie the Ice Cream Man is still alive.
Oh yeah, because he died.
Another fake out like at the end of the first Phantasm where you think that he's dead, but there's no confirmation. So I guess he died, but he got better.
Yeah, I guess I never really doubted that he would come back. I just doubted whether or not he would come back as a baddie or not.
Oh, yeah.
The Lord of the Dead brings people back.
Well, he doesn't look like he's 3 feet tall. And he's being chased by some murder balls, so I think he's still on the side of light.
For now. We can only hope that he holds the light in his heart.
Indeed.
But Tom, before we can watch the movie, we need to play a game.
Well, let's get this game out of the way, because this movie is calling to me, Todd. I need to see it.
It's calling to your heart. So this is the IMDb guessing game. It's the game where we guess what rating the good users of IMDb and the bad ones gave to this particular movie. Now, just to recap your memory there, the original Phantasm, the ball that started it all from 1979.
The murder ball that started it all.
Oh, beautiful. Mwah! That got a score of 6.8.
That's respectable.
Phantasm 2, which brought in the golden murder ball and showed us a little bit more of the world beyond the tuning forks and all of that
stuff. Had that stuff with like Reggie like having his head slapped. That was pretty good. Giant spine monsters.
His house blew up twice.
Yeah.
All of that. That from 1988, so 9 years later, got 6.5, down from 6.8.
Yeah.
This... Lord of the Dead from 1994, so a 6 year gap.
Yeah.
What do you think it got?
I mean, I'm feeling pretty pumped for this. The first two installments have been like, you know, it's a very slow descent. I'm going to say it's a 6.2.
Oh, dude, it's a 6.1.
Oh.
You're so close. So that is a reduction of 0.4. I can't believe three movies in, we're still above a 6.
Yeah, this is like... This is very promising stuff.
Very, very promising stuff indeed. Should we go delve in?
I'll get my nunchucks.
All right, so there's no classy way to say this.
Yeah.
This movie is absolutely full of balls.
I mean, there's a lot of balls in there.
It is bursting at the sack with balls, man. They obviously, you know, Big Donny Costco, he heard that we liked the balls. And so what he did was he put some balls in the balls so we can be scared of balls while we're being scared of balls.
Man, it's bulging. Bulging with them balls.
It is bulbous. There are So many balls. And the balls have their own body parts going on.
Yes.
So we will get into the plot in a moment. But my number one takeaway from this movie is that the murder balls have teeny tiny little brains inside them.
Yeah.
Which are ooky gooky little gungy gooey gory brains. And then some of them also have telescopic eyeballs of their own. They can spy on you.
Yeah.
Seems like the balls are either the spy balls or the murder balls.
Yes.
Like, I haven't yet seen one that is both, but maybe he's saving that for part four.
There's all those balls, and then there's just also a lot of time spent on Reggie the Ice Cream Man's balls as well. Just
there's a lot of ball-based
just
chat.
A lot of balls going on in here. This is a film that is balls to the wall. It leaves it all out on the field. Jesus Christ, Don Coscarelli. Don't hurt them. Like, what the fuck? This film is mental.
Tom, I have a question for you.
Mm.
Did you like it?
I did like it. I did. It had a fucking lot going on.
Mm.
Now, call me crazy. I like a lot of mental shit going on in films. This film is giving a lot of things that I wanted. Is it too much?
Right. Maybe it's too much.
It might be too much because, in a way, this film is just like, a lot. It's like an action film more than a horror film, I think.
It starts like an action film and then kind of strips all of that away and then becomes like a very good horror film.
Yeah.
And then right at the end is this sort of slightly uneasy mix of both.
Yeah. And it just feels like it's like action, you know, like big set piece after set piece after, you know, like it feels quite relentless.
Mm-hmm.
Like Don Coscarelli just like really wanted to do a lot of different set pieces, and they, you know, so like stuff happens and it's all kind of like, okay, cool, well, why did that happen? I don't know. Don Coscarelli wanted to film something weird happening. Doesn't really have that much, you know, like progress the story that much, but there was some cool shit going on.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, like, and I don't want to rag on the film and say like it was too, because it's cool. It's a spectacle.
I really liked it. I think so far of the three, it's my least favorite of the three. It's still a lot better than a lot of films, especially ones that we've watched for this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, so far, my least favorite Phantasm film is, you know, better than 50% of the Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, is it my least? I don't know. I think I don't want to say it's my least favorite, like, but it, maybe it is because I don't want to say like that this is a bad film.
This
is an enjoyable film and I don't want to do the film down because there was like just all the way through, there's so much shit in it where I'm just like, oh, what? But it's like, it's spectacle rather than, not to say that like the Phantasm films have like loads of like story you can really dig your teeth into and shit. It's just like, it just feels like a bit flashy.
Yeah.
It's quite flashy.
Yeah. Well, let's dig into it, man. Let's get our hands dirty. Let's get our feet wet.
So the film opens with previously on Phantasm, as we just get a lot of scenes from the first two films, just getting us up to date with what's been going on. So that's all kind of like old stuff. It's kind of like, okay, yeah, fine, whatever. But then what it does drop in there, in amongst all this old footage, is what's happening with, like, it's got a narration by Michael, like the boy from the first film who's grown up, and he's like talking about his experiences with the tall man, and he's like, he keeps on coming back. And we just see that after the events of Phantasm 2, where like the tall man got like melted with all that acid, that his body just kind of floated into the portal, the tuning fork portal, and a new tall man came out, took the old fucked up body and just threw it back through the portal. So it's just kind of like, they're just whole new tall men coming through, which is cool.
I really, really like that. And then instantly that was undercut by something that I kind of really didn't like. Which was
where we caught up to what was happening in at the end of
because good listeners, now cast your minds back to last episode. Tom and I were absolutely shocked and aghast that Reggie, the ice cream man, had died. He was dead in the back of the hearse. He had been killed by the fake girl that was probably really the tall man in some sort of form or another had killed him. He was dead, and we were wondering, how are they going to bring him back?
His death was not as bad as all that. Like, you had that shot at the end of the second film where he's like covered in blood. Looks like he's been like stabbed, something rotten. He's like against like the window of the car. He's like, collapses on the floor. He looks fucked. In this, it's just a scratch.
Now, I just really want to talk about a scene from Stephen King's Misery. This really pivotal speech that the villain, Annie Wilkes, gives, which is kind of supposed to be indicative of how she expects the world to be a certain way and like becomes enraged when things aren't logical or fair.
Yeah.
And it's this story she tells of being a little girl and going to the movies to see like a serialized thing that would always play. And one week there's this serial where there's the hero is in this car, and then you see the car like drive off a cliff and crash and burst into flames.
Yeah.
And I was so upset and excited. And the next week, you better believe I was first in line. And they always start with the end of the last week. And there was Rocket Man trying to get out. And here comes the cliff. And just before the car went off the cliff, he jumped free. And all the kids cheered. But I didn't cheer. I stood right up and started shouting, "This isn't what happened last week! Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us! This isn't fair! He didn't get out of the cock-a-doody car!"
Now, I felt her pain.
Yeah.
This, because that is not how it happened. And Don Coscarelli should know that. He absolutely would have been aware of Misery at this point.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, like, that you kind of go, hang on, he looks decidedly less murdered than he did last time we saw him. But then Don Coscarelli goes, don't look at that. Don't look at the man not behind the curtain who's not dead. Like, because look, the hearse, which has got Michael and the girl that he had the telepathic link with from the second film, you know, the whole second film.
Was
all about trying to find her and their connection and stuff like that. The car that they're in suddenly drives off. Reggie gets up and goes, oh, where's the car going? I'm fine. I thought I was murdered, but no, I'm fine. And the car just like suddenly just drives off, crashes into a tree, explodes. Reggie like runs over because, you know, he's fine now. Suddenly he's the most healthy man of the bunch. Mike is all like fucked up and has been thrown from the car. The girl is now lying on the floor, having her face eaten off by one of the evil dwarfy goblins.
That's pretty raw, this like bit where it eats her face.
And you're just like, wait, what the fuck is happening? It's like, so, you know, like the whole thing about like being like, oh, this is what the second film's about. This character's really important. She's been killed in the first minute of the film without a line because we couldn't get her back, or we just decided we didn't want to go with that character anymore.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
And then so then Reggie has to save Mike and like shoot a load of more little goblin-y guys.
There's a really funny bit where he's just like randomly firing his shotgun into the trees, and then you see all of these like goblin bodies drop out one by one.
Yeah.
It's quite funny.
And then the tall man shows up because he's fine now and he wants Michael, and then Reggie pulls out a grenade and is like, well, you're not going to get him. I'm going to blow us all up. And so then the tall man's like, do it later.
He's like, I don't want him in pieces. I need him in one piece.
And then you can breathe. You're like, whoa, what? Like, now Michael is in the hospital.
Yeah, Michael's in the hospital, and we cut to the tall man. Suddenly in his lair, he's got this throne room. He's sat in a literal throne. He's got a murder ball in his hand, like it's kind of Yorick's skull.
Yeah.
And he's sort of staring into it, like having this conversation. And then it opens up and we see that there is a little pulsating brain inside the murder ball, like it's a Dalek or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going. You know, you're just watching this, like, kind of, like, gripping onto your seat in case you get blown out of it because there's just so much shit going on.
Well, fucking strap in tighter, yeah, yeah. Dad. Because Michael's in the hospital and he sees the light. He's crossing over to the other side. But then the ghost of his brother, Jody. You remember Jody from the first film, his brother that died. He's there going, no, it's not your time. It's not your time.
Don't go to the light.
Don't go to the light. Stay away from the light. In fact, I'm going to stick around and make sure that you stay away from the light. But then when he goes back away from the light, back into his body, there's an evil, fucked up zombie nurse there. And she's still dressed as a nurse. She's got the fucked up zombie face. And she's got this evil, like, massive sort of dentist's drill thing.
Yeah, she's trying to stab him with it. Because when he saw the light, the tall man was in the light. And so he's like, oh, God, got to get out of there. Oh, no. Zombie nurse. Big drill thing. And then does he manages to, like, kill her?
Somehow. Or does Reggie come in? I think Reggie does it.
Or, like, yeah, Reggie comes in and finds all this, like, crazy shit going on, and then they kill the nurse, and then a murder ball explodes out of her skull.
There was a ball in her head the whole time!
And flies out, and you're kind of like, can I breathe now, film?
No, because as it's leaving, we see that it's the first of the eyeball balls. It's a ball ball.
Oh my
God. It's got a human eyeball on a
stick. Too meta for me.
Yeah. Ooh, doggy.
Oh my God. Yeah, and now...
Now we can rest, Tom. Now we can rest. Except that we can't rest.
They can't rest.
Because they go back to Reggie's pad and Jody is there as a ghost. Jody,
in a murder ball.
And he's like, yeah, you can't touch me. I don't have enough juice. If you touch me, I'll fade. So I'm going to go. And then, like, then the tall man, like, sends a ball after them. But Jody's ghost goes inside the ball and takes control of it and makes it a good ball.
Yeah, so then I have, like, this, like, yeah, like a nice... murder ball that has every now and then will turn into a ghost of Jody or, like, give them directions when they don't know where they're going. Fuck me, man. I think we'd, like, just pause the film. It's like, this is like 13 minutes in,
yeah,
that all of this shit has gone on. And it's
thankfully, after this, the pace calms down an awful lot and we get a chance to just collect ourselves, except that no, we can't, because then the tall man is suddenly there and he raises his eyebrow and then magically, using his eyebrow, destroys the ghost murder ball with Jody in it, and it, like, turns into a miniature version of the moon and falls to the ground, and then he drags Michael away into the light, the place he wasn't supposed to go.
Oh, don't go there.
And then Reggie passes out.
Oh, fucking, yeah. And so then, like, now the film takes a breather for a tiny, tiny bit.
Oh, my God.
Where, like, Reggie just kind of, like, is kind of like, huh, guess I'm the hero of the franchise now. Because this is the bit where, like, Mikey, you're like, is Michael dead? What's happened to Michael? Like, Michael's been, like, zapped away to some, like, other dimension. And then the film is just, like... Is Reggie the ice cream man?
And do we need to talk about the fact that the actor playing Michael is now the original Michael from the first film, but all grown up 15 years later?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He looks like the singer of, like, a new wave band that's, like, always, like, they're always first on the bill. They're not, like, headlining. So he also, like, makes, you know, supplements his living doing up close magic or something like that.
He's
got this kind of, like, new wave magician kind of look going on meets vampire. So it's actually funny, quite weird when he's on screen, because I know you're meant to be a goodie, but you just look evil.
I feel like we're being mean now.
Well, maybe we are, Todd.
Maybe
anyway,
we're the baddies.
Maybe we are. But yeah, so now it's like, huh, okay, Reggie the ice cream man is now. Has now ascended to being, like, a kind of the Snake Plissken of this film franchise or something.
Yeah.
Like, he, you know, like, kind of tries to be, you know, he's going around with this, like, his quadruple shotgun and being a little bit more like, we've got some work to finish. And it's just, it's kind of unconvincing coming from Reggie the Ice Cream Man, but
yeah.
I feel like he's earned it now, I guess. And so it's now him with... the ghost of Jody trapped in a defective murder ball, trying to hunt down the tall man to try and save Michael. So he goes back on the road, finding all these abandoned towns, very much like they did in the second film.
And I've got to say that I quite enjoyed the road movie aspect of the second film. Third film around, I think I'm done with it. I think this is the only bit that I really kind of was a little bit like, it's a little bit Snoozeville. Like, I get the idea is supposed to be that the tall man is spreading across America, wiping out towns one by one. I don't need to see Reggie go to each one of these towns, because every time he does, it's kind of the same.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Like, I think, like, why the film works, because all of the action and the set pieces and the visuals and the weirdness are amped up to 11, and it's kind of like cool spectacle. But when it actually comes to, like, you know, like the bit where all that slows down, and then what else have you got? It's kind of a bit of something that we've already had.
Yeah. Now, thankfully, this bit of it doesn't last super long.
Yeah, he's going to go to another town.
He goes to a town called Holtzville. It's a ghost town. It's been wiped out by the tall man, and it's full of looters. There is this gang of looters. There's like a kind of a trashy gal.
Yeah.
There's like her sort of sleazy boyfriend, and then this weird old man who's dressed like a 1940s stand-up comedian.
Yeah. There are a bunch of like real no goodniks. They're just out, like, you know, like robbing and stealing and killing. And they clobber Reggie.
Yeah, they pop him in the trunk.
And then they're going out to... they're just, like, looting the town. So they drive out to another house on, like, the outskirts of the town. And they go in, and the house is... like they see there's, like, an old couple in rocking chairs through the door. So they burst in and shoot them. But they were dummies.
Yeah, with these spooky masks on.
Yeah, with spooky masks on. And then there's, like, a clown head hanging from the ceiling that goes, "You're in trouble now!" And then, like, this booby-trapped clown full of knives... you know, like in Home Alone, when he swings the paint cans, like, down the stairs? It's like that, except the paint cans are a stuffed, like, clown dummy full of knives.
All right. Kevin McAllister should have tried that.
And then Kevin McAllister, like, the small kid shows up in a spooky mask and is, like, running around. And it's like, wait, what the fuck is going on? Like, because it's, I mean, it's cool, it's weird, but it's like suddenly... there are no characters that we know left in the film, because Reggie is locked in the boot of a car, and we're following these criminals, and they've gone into, like, you know, like something from The Purge.
They absolutely have, because the little boy, who's the character name is Tim, but I refuse to call him anything other than Kevin McAllister. Kevin McAllister pulls out this homemade tomahawk and throws it at the sleazy lady's face, and it embeds in her skull, not quite diagonally like machete would, but almost, and kills her dead. And there is so much blood, and like a 10-year-old boy just did this.
Yeah, it's it really comes out of nowhere. This twist of like something like Murder Boy shows up, and then. Oh, what does it? Who else? He kills.
Well, then he kills the boyfriend. How does he kill him?
He runs out of the house, and he's like stood at the end of the garden, and he's kind of, and they're like, we're gonna get you, kid, for what you did. And he's like, hey, don't come any closer, or I'm gonna throw this. And he holds up like a plastic pink frisbee, but it's got razor blades that he's stuck all around the edges of it. It's a bit like a homemade version of, like, you know, in Mad Max 2, there's like the kid with like the razor boomerang.
I do remember that.
It's like his like cheap version of that, and he throws it and it slits the boyfriend's throat and his neck kind of goes and lollops back. And then the kid like traps the sleazy guy, like the kind of spivvy guy in a hole. And then you cut away to Reggie in the boot of the car, and you just hear a solitary gunshot. Like, the kid's just fucking shot this guy like a fish in a barrel. It's like, this kid is a maniac.
Just like we always knew Kevin McAllister was.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Like...
yeah, so he lets Reggie out of the trunk. They decide to team up. He's like, yeah, you know, my family's dead. This tall guy came through and cleared out the town. Kevin McAllister tells this story about how his dad was the sheriff, and he was the first to sort of be killed by the tall man. And then we sort of see this funeral where the kid sort of sees his dad being carried away by the tall man, who then jumps out and kills his mum. Oh, no, the dad comes back to life and kills his mum and makes this amazing noise. He goes, bah! Like that.
Yeah.
Bah!
And then the kid climbs into the hearse and sees his dead zombie father cradling his mother's now dead body in the hearse going,
That will affect you.
That will make you kill people and create a clown death house, I guess. It's all good to know for the future.
Yeah.
So, like, fucking hell. Yeah, this is the film is ramping up again. So they've teamed up. They go to another funeral home in another abandoned town.
They do.
At this point, Kevin McAllister is just hiding in the boot of the car because Reggie doesn't know that he's kind of like stowed away.
Yeah.
And so like Reggie's just in there on his own. And then he finds these two kind of like action girls who jump him and in the thing. They're like,
it's like a mausoleum. I think they're grave robbers. Are they there to be grave robbers? It's not really established why they're there.
I think that they're there because the tall man has wiped out their town and they are there to try and hunt him down.
Okay.
But they jump Reggie. And while this is going on, fucking Murderball shows up.
Murderball shows up. We get a classic bit of head drilling. One of the sort of not grave robber girls gets the Murderball in her face. The drill goes into the forehead. We get a really, really long, super good spurting shot of just her blood spurting out the other end of the ball while she's just holding it in front of her face and going, yeah, Don, what do you want me to do, Don? Oh, just, well, the pumping mechanism's just going to squirt out blood. Yeah. So could you just sort of thrash until it stops.
Yeah, just stand there going, ah, and then when it stops, you fall over like it's something out of, I don't know, like a comedy sketch. Like someone's just bonked you on the head with a rubber hammer.
But I just think maybe there was a bit more blood in that bucket than they were anticipating, because it goes on for a really long time. And you can kind of see it in the pool. Her eyes. She's like, keep going, yeah, Don. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Don's behind the camera.
Like, just like spinning his hands around, going, yeah, more, stretch more, it, more, stretch more, it.
More. Top the blood up. Put more blood in the bucket. More blood in the bucket.
It is so good. I do not have as much blood in my entire body as this girl had in her head.
Yeah. And then she's dead. But then one of the other gals is still up and going. And so she decides to fight the murder ball with nunchucks. And at this point, I'm just like, yes, more of this.
Turns out I love nunchucks. I didn't know. I love them almost as much as I love balls.
Yeah.
And then when you get nunchucks versus balls.
Mate, yeah. So this is Rocky we're introduced to. I think she's like ex-military. Her outfits are fucking amazing.
Oh my God.
She's basically, her look is kind of like this military punk Grace Jones kind of look. She's got like this awesome kind of like flat top hair, massive aviators, like really cool, like loads of jewelry, fingerless leather gloves, because fingerless leather gloves are cool.
She's kind of dressed like Prince if he was one of the Lost Boys.
Yeah. And basically she just doesn't take any shit. She loves nunchucks and teams up with Reggie and Kevin McAllister, because Kevin pops out and shoots the murder ball, because nunchucks are very cool but didn't seem like they were going to quite cut it against a murder ball.
No, so they need Kevin McAllister's fucking magnum.
Yeah,
he just like, shoots the ball out of
Glock
the air.
Kid.
And then there's this weird throwaway line where like Reggie just sort of refers to the ball. He's like, we've got to get out of here. There's too many of those sentinels around here. And this is the first time in the franchise we've ever heard the balls called sentinels.
And the only time
so far.
Every other time they just refer to them as balls.
As balls. So yeah, they just, can we get one take where you call them sentinels? We've got this note from the studio to tone down the ball-based content. And then they just forgot that executive got fired or something.
Yeah,
like, hey, don't be silly. Who's giving notes like this? Balls of money. Balls of money. Come on, guys. Ball it up.
We've seen some of the rushes. Could you just say try sentinels? We'll see how it plays out. If we don't like it, we'll just go back to balls. Always go back.
Phantasm four. Back to balls.
So now we've got a bit of a team. We've got a bit of a mob. And I'm like, I'm into this. Like, as a kind of like weird, very odd 90s action team.
The gang is great. It's Reggie good. The Ice Cream Man with his like bald head and ponytail and checkered shirt.
Doing like kind of like an unconvincing kind of like action hero, like COD action hero thing.
Yeah.
You've got the genuinely badass Rocky, who is just like looks fucking amazing and has nunchucks. And then you've got Kevin McAllister. And like this kid is like, I think the kind of like the wish fulfillment thing, that when you were like
10 or 12 or whatever, and you were watching action films that you weren't, you know, you're watching like films that you weren't supposed to watch. And you're like, man, wouldn't it be really cool if like the only problem with all these films is that it's all full of grown-ups doing all this shit. Wouldn't it be cool if you had like a film with like kids like going fucking blowing like bad guys away with magnums and shit like that? It's like, this kid is that thing. If I'd seen this film when I was like 10, I'd be like, this guy's the fucking best. Look at him. He's in his double stonewashed denim with his murder house and his giant gun.
Yes. There's an amazing bit where like Reggie lets him drive the car.
Yeah.
And he's just driving the car.
Yeehaw!
And he's just going, yeah! 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 And he's just driving a car.
And Reggie's just kind of like just, you know, mugging and gurning for all it's worth. Good stuff. Good, good.
Top content.
The only unfortunate side effect of this awesome pairing of Reggie the Ice Cream Man, Rocky, and Kevin McAllister is that Reggie is actually a real fucking creep.
He is, I'm sorry.
And he just, like, is relentless in his quest to bang Rocky, despite the fact that she tells him very clearly, I am not interested. And Reggie the Ice Cream Man, I think, you know, in a post-Weinstein Me Too world, that guy's going to be in for a fucking rude awakening, because the shit he is up to in this film is absolutely not okay.
Talk us through it, Tom.
So there's this bit, they go and stay at a motel and Reggie goes in to like get a room, and there's a room that's big enough for all of them.
Mm.
Or there's a room that's, you know, like got like a smaller bed, you know, like double bed.
Yeah, it's a double bed and then there's room for one person on the floor.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I'll get the smaller room. And then goes out and is like, they only had the smaller room. Kevin McAllister, would you mind just like sleeping in the car? And there's this whole bit where, like, Kevin's like, do I need to do... Oh, like, Rocky keeps on being like, oh, you can come in with us. And, like, Reggie's just there, just, like, gesturing wildly to Kevin, like, no, don't come in the hotel room. I'm trying to fuck her. Don't come in. Like, and then they share a room, and he's just relentless. She's like, you're sleeping on the floor because I don't want to share a bed with you. And he's like, come on.
Hey, baby, relax.
Yeah, and then they get into bed together. And he's like, right, don't touch me. He's like, babe, what if we fuck? Come on. And then she's like, no, absolutely not having this. Rolls over, I'm going to bed. And then he like rolls over and puts his arm around her. And he's like, come on. He's like, oh no, he's like, oh, it's the really uncomfortable line of like, hey, haven't you ever tried vanilla? And it's like, oh, dude, let's not like make your kind of like really inappropriate sexual advances like become like a weird race thing well. Although she does have a good comeback.
Her comeback is, you know, the dairy products give me gas.
Yeah, that's you, Reggie. You make a fart.
Then she acquiesces and she gets out some handcuffs. And Reggie's like, oi, oi. And you can hear him like ripping his pajamas with excitement. And she handcuffs him to the bed and then rolls over and goes to sleep.
Wah, wah, wah. Oh, Reggie. Come on, man. We were rooting for you up until this point.
And then that's kind of it. It's very much played for laughs.
Yeah, every now and then, like, there'll be a bit, like, later on where they find, like, a cryogenic tank with, like, frozen heads in it. You know, it's, like, for the whole thing of, like, people being brought back to life later on. And Rocky's like, man, some people just, you know, don't know when to give it up. And then he's like, oh, you're a fine one to talk. And it's like, oh, fucking hell, Reggie.
Reggie!
Have a cold shower and treat this woman with respect.
Yeah, I mean, it's a miracle she doesn't murder him with nunchucks. But anyway.
Indeed.
So then they turn up at the next town, which is called Bolton, a town that has supposedly been wiped out because of anthrax. That's
as
what they say.
You do.
And they're just like, yep, let's go check that place out.
Yeah.
And then as they're turning up in town.
Can you imagine if they're like, that sounds like bullshit, probably the tall man. And then they get there, they're like, fuck.
Oh, no, I feel very poorly.
I've been anthraxed.
But no, when they turn up, they see three hearses in a row being driven by spooky people with gas masks on. And Reggie, like, cocks his head and goes, something tells me we're on the right track.
Great. This is great.
Fucking Einstein over here.
Yeah. And then they're kind of staking out the town and they all have a nap.
And then Reggie gets to have dream sex with Rocky.
Yeah, and while he's having dream sex with Rocky...
A lot of fucking shit happens here, people. This is one of the points where the film just suddenly goes, like, falls asleep at the wheel and, like, just puts the foot firmly on the accelerator and goes off a cliff because it just goes kind of, what?
Yeah, so Jody, Michael's brother, is there in the dream as a ghost.
Yeah.
And he's like... I need you for something, Reggie. And Reggie's like, oh, I'm busy right now. I'm busy dream fucking Rocky. And Jody's like, no, I really need you behind me. And Reggie's like, and he's like, oh, not like that.
I mean, you need you to get behind me on this one. Come through this door. And then they go through the door. You're in the middle of a desert.
Cool. And he's very like, trippy desert.
Yeah. Reggie's walking around like, huh, okay, yeah, cool. What is this? Like, this is your mind or something. I don't know. It's Jody's response. He's like, I don't know. It's some shit. I'm a ghost in a ball. What do I know? I'm going to turn back into a ball and shoot some lasers. And then we're going to go through this laser tunnel to go and find Michael. And then they end up in like another dungeon full of lasers.
Yeah.
And the tall man is there. And they have to hide from the tall man, even though they're in a dream. And they go and find Michael, who's stuck in a box.
He's trapped in a box.
And the tall man is like saying, like, boy, give it up, boy. You know what you did or something. Like, yeah. he's got him held prisoner for some reason. And they go and save him. They go through another laser tunnel.
They take him back out into the waking world.
Yeah, like, I don't understand how the dream logic in this film, because apparently it's like, oh, no, they've actually... got him back. He's there. And then Jody creates one of those tuning fork portals with a laser that comes out of his head or something.
Yep, yeah, keep up. I don't know what's confusing about that.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, no, this is good. We've done this because then Michael can actually come out of that portal. And they're like, oh, no, because we've opened up this portal, the tall man can come through as well. So he's coming through and he's like, oh, hello, I'm the tall man. Got my hands coming out. Jody pops his hands on the tuning forks, which, as we all know from the first film, does a thing.
Well, if you have a real tuning fork and you touch the top of it, it stops it vibrating. Yes, that's what he does.
Mm.
And so because he stops it vibrating while the tall man is coming through it, picture this, guys, picture this. His hands are out first, tuning fork stops vibrating, so the portal disappears, so his hands are sliced off from the rest of his body.
Okay, well, that was a weird, trippy scene. But no, that's not the end of it. Because then Kevin McAllister looks at the hands and goes, huh, they've turned into, like, sort of like, you know, when, like, a snake sheds its skin?
Mm.
And it's like, well, where are the hands? And then, like, the backpack that they've got is rustling. And they open it up. And it's, like, this kind of lizard thing that comes out with kind of, like, in Stranger Things, like the face of the Demogorgon, like it's just like this opens up like a flower of teeth.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of these, and they're just running around going, wah, 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 and they're like biting Reggie in the face, and Kevin McAllister's shooting them. I think that Rocky probably tries to stab one. Oh no, one of them goes up Reggie's trousers and is trying to gnaw his peen. And then Rocky's going to like, right, I'm going to stab it. And then he's like, no, my peen.
I love my peen. yeah, and then like, they like cut one of the fingers off of the hand and it goes up Reggie's nose. This bit's quite like Evil Dead. And then the finger, when it's just a finger, he like pulls it out and the finger just keeps getting longer. It looks like one of those, I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but you know, like percebes, those like black like crustacean things. You
right, get yeah.
It looks like one of those. It's grim. This is cool. I like this bit.
It's cool. A lot of things are going on and they're like, right, well, we better go to the mortuary then. Driving along to the mortuary, it's those no good Nick looters from the town before. They show up in their pink hearse.
They're zombies now.
A car chase ensues. The quadruple shotgun is used to shoot the sleazy girl in the face. She gets run over. The car spins through the air. It explodes. All kinds of shit is going on.
Fun fact, I recently read Don Coscarelli's autobiography, True Indie. Mm-hmm. Good read out there, all Don Coscarelli fans can recommend. I know that the car crash bit, this cool scene where like Reggie's driving the car and it like goes off a jump and spins through the air, they had exactly one take of it, and Don Coscarelli was going to film it himself with the only camera. He's the one behind the camera. And then basically they could only afford one go at it. And then just before the car gets thrown into the air, it like hits this spring ramp thing. It's basically going to launch it. And he basically didn't anticipate how loud this heavy car hitting the spring was going to be. And so it's so loud, like he's right by it with the camera, that when it happens, he just goes, oh, fucking hell, and just like turns away and is just like covering his ears and not looking through the viewfinder at all. And miraculously, the shot lined up perfectly, even though he wasn't looking through it. And he was too embarrassed to tell anybody that he'd fucked it up. So right up until they got to the editing room, he was like, yep, it was a perfect take. It was a perfect take.
Oh, you're a lucky man.
Lucky man,
Big
Don. True Indie can recommend it as a good read, fans.
Good stuff. So now they are at the mortuary because they had the backwards logic that they're like, they go there because that's where the tall man is, but they go there because it's the last place he would think of looking for him. But that's where he lives. I don't entirely get the logic, but okay, whatever it takes you to get to the third act of the film.
Yeah. I mean, fine. And this, for me, is really where I start to enjoy the film a lot more, mm-hmm. when it's just them kind of stalking around this mausoleum that's absolutely brimming with balls.
Oh, so many balls. Well, one of the first things that happens when they get there, they're having a bit of a snoop around. We find some Chekhov's nitrogen.
Liquid nitrogen
that has the frozen heads in it. And Michael remembers that he suddenly decides that the tall man does not like cold, because he walked past that ice cream van that Reggie had in the first film and gave Michael a look. And apparently that meant he didn't like cold.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever you need, guys, whatever footage you need to repurpose. And then while this is all going on, Michael's like, I really feel that three films in, we should know a little bit more about what the fuck the tall man is trying to do. So, dead brother in a murder ball. I'm going to pop you on my forehead. Can you give me a bit of exposition, please? And so, by jingo, he does.
Yep, Tom, I know you love an exposition party. Would you care to talk us through this one beat by beat?
Jody goes and shows Michael the tall man operating on...
one of the goblin guys.
One of these little goblin guys. And apparently, like, the whole thing, they're digging up these bodies and they are... he's using them to create an army to conquer dimensions, other worlds. And the whole deal is that they are compressing bodies down so they become small enough that he can take the brains out and they will fit in a murder ball.
Yes, the goblins are a byproduct of the murder ball.
So the brains of the goblins are in the murder ball and they then become... killers and hunters, whereas like the little goblin-y guys become just like kind of...
they're pure instinct.
Yeah, they're just like minions. Yeah.
It's really cool during this exposition party, I think, how the ghost of Jody only speaks in this like really creepy whisper. So like everyone else is just like, hey, Jody, what's going on? What's going on with the tall man? And then Jody's like, he sucks out the brains and he puts them in the ball. And Michael's like, whoa, that's so creepy, Jody. That's like super creepy. What's he going to do with the rest of it? It's like, it's the creepy goblin. It acts on pure instinct. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Well, the reason he's whispering is because the weird dream logic, again, in this film is kind of like, Jody's like, let me go and show you. And then the tall man turns around and Jody's like, oh, fucking hell.
Holy shit.
Let's get out of here. Because he can actually see. It's like, for some reason, you're lying on a table with a ball on your head, but you're also here and the tall man can just get you, apparently. And then the tall man just appears and he gets Michael.
Gets him. Takes him away.
He bloody gets him. While this is all going on, we get this excellent little scene where Kevin McAllister and Rocky cook a tin of beans.
And they cook a tin of
beans.
By God,
do they cook it?
By popping the beans in the fucking crematorium, whatever you call it.
Like the oven.
The bit that you cremate bodies in. They put a tin of beans in that and then they eat them with like a flick knife.
Yeah.
This is the coolest meal that I have ever heard of, and it is now all I want.
Oh, yeah.
Crematorium beans!
That's going to be... That's a good theme restaurant, isn't it? Can you imagine if you just go somewhere and you just plonk down a big can of beans for two to share? Here's your flick knives. Tuck in.
We did cook them in a crematorium. There is probably some residual flavour.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, doesn't really have a lot of bearing on the plot, but we both enjoyed that.
It was very great.
And then...
The zombie looter gang are back.
They're back.
They're in the crematorium as well. They're running around. Rocky gets her nunchucks out. We have a bit of a... She chucks a nun.
Yeah, yeah. What else is going on? Oh, back to the exposition party. We find out that the tall man has thousands of balls. There's this shot where you like see him kind of like it's shot from like a low angle, and you can see that the ceiling is like there's just like balls looming above him, where, you know, like oh there's loads of them.
It's like a swarm of bees. It's his hall of balls.
That's right. That's pretty cool.
Then we cut back to Rocky and the zombie looter, and they have this cool fight on a church organ. Now, they're not standing on it. It's just the zombie is pushing Rocky down against the keys of the church organ while they're fighting. So while they're fighting, you hear like, bang, 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 all this really discordant like horror film music. It's great.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of like in this film that these zombie looters just keep on popping up and keep on popping up every time that you think they've been killed. Nah, they're back for some more. Everyone has a bit of a scrap. Like Reggie's having a bit of a fight. Kevin McAllister's having a bit of a fight. Rocky's doing all of her cool shit.
She rescues Reggie. He's going to get killed by one of them. And she goes, hands off my boy. And then like kills one of the zombies or whatever. And Reggie's all like, you saved me.
Yeah. And then while this is all going on, the tall man has got Michael and he's like sticking this drill thing in his head and is just kind of like really going to town drilling him. The rest of the gang are outside like, right, we've got to rescue him. What do we do? Remember that bit where you said that you didn't like cold? Cool. We'll stick like a big pike, like a big sticky thing in the liquid nitrogen. And we'll use that to stab the tall man and then we'll chuck him in the freezer for keeping the bodies. In he goes. He doesn't like the cold. He starts pulling some funny faces. Some funny, funny faces. While this is all going on, Michael gets up off the table that he was on where he's being drilled in the face. And he's got, oh no, I've got custard for blood now. Like the tall man has and like all the little goblins. It's like, what has he done to me? Why have I got the custard in my head? Go back to the tall man. He's like, he's wiggling, he's jiggling. And then suddenly his face explodes out. And a murder ball comes out of his face.
The tall man was a ball all along.
Oh, my God. I should have known. And then that ball just really goes to town trying to kill Reggie and the gang.
It's one of the golden balls that we last saw in that game show with Jasper Carrot.
Yeah.
No, in Phantasm 2, where it's got the three blades on the front instead of just two. So it's like zooming around. And then the looter zombie girl, it like, you know, in Wile E. Coyote cartoons when Roadrunner just like smashes through a mountain and there's like a perfect outline of him, kind of like that. The ball does that to the zombie girl's face.
Yeah.
It like just plows right through and there's a perfectly spherical hole in her head.
It's pretty awesome.
And then Reggie catches the ball that is secretly the tall man with a plunger, with a toilet plunger. He like plunges it out of the air and it's just like...
And I'm stuck now.
And then he's just got it. He's like, oh, fucking hell. It's actually quite powerful. And it's like wrestling around trying to hold onto this plunger.
They all start trying to fight this plunger. They've got dramatic music, but you could easily sub in like the Benny Hill music because it just looks a bit silly. And then they plonk that back in the nitrogen.
Yeah.
That's it. That's that done.
Freeze
I'm pretty
it.
Sure that the tall man won't come back again. Great. What's Michael up to? Michael is having a bit of a look at that big drill hole in his head, and he's got a murder ball under like this flap of skin in his head. He's like, oh no, I've got a ball in my head though. And then like
And then his eyes go all weird and look a bit like murder balls.
He's got a ball in his head and his eyeballs are balls.
Yeah, and he runs off. He's like, don't come after me, Reggie. I've got to go. And then the ghost of Jodie appears and is like... This is the bit where the film just doesn't know what it's doing because, like, Reggie's just kind of like, wait, what's going on? I don't understand what is happening. And then Jodie turns round and could basically have just said, yeah, Don Coscarelli doesn't know either. We're going to figure it out on the fourth one. Because he just goes like, hey, sometimes you just don't fucking know.
That's what he says, yeah. Basically.
And then he like turns back into a ball and goes and floats off after his brother. And that's the last we see of them. Like,
they're two brothers, one who is a ball and the other one who has three balls inside of his head, two of which are eyeballs. That is so many balls within balls.
There's a lot of balls going on.
But I'm having a ball.
I'm having a ball. Yeah, like it just feels like it's like what is going on? It's like, I don't know. We're just finishing on this weird note, but we have absolutely no idea. And this is the bit where you kind of go like, oh, the film's coming to an end now, isn't it? And the film doesn't know how to end.
Yeah, so the way that it ends is Rocky just sort of rocks up in a car and is like, I'm leaving now, bye.
Rocky was also here.
Yeah, zoom, and she just drives over to the sunset. Then Reggie and Kevin McAllister decide to go back inside the mausoleum. And Kevin McAllister is like, Michael gave me a message to give to you. He wanted me to tell you, there are thousands of them. And he's like, thousands of what?
I don't know.
And then that's like Reggie's pinned up against the wall by like the swarm of bulls.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's been through so much. He's fought so many like dwarf goblins and killed so many bulls and fought off zombie looters. This particular scene where he's just like ganged up on by maybe 20 bulls, like pinning him up against the wall. They don't have drills or anything, but he just looks at Kevin and he goes, it's over. It's all over. It's like, well, try at least. Like, Kevin's got a massive gun.
Yeah.
Like,
and Kevin does go for the massive gun. And then
the tall man comes out from behind the door. He's back and he goes, it's never over. And then the credits roll, so it is over.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's never over. Also, did you see the end of Phantasm 1 where that goblin jumped out of a mirror? Surprise! That happens, like, you know, like, goblin jumps through glass, pulls him back. Credits, film didn't really know how to end. Yeah. I mean...
But it's never over, Tom, except for when it is over. But even when it's not over, it isn't.
I mean, it isn't over because there is a fourth film. But it's like, I don't know, there's all this cool shit. I really liked getting a little bit more about like, okay, cool, what is the tall man up to? What's the deal with them balls, though? That's really cool. And then it just... I don't know, like, I like a cliffhanger. I like a tease. But it really just felt like it just did not know quite. It felt like it's like, yeah, we're going to figure it out later, I guess. And I think the whole thing of like at the end is like, oh, is Kevin McAllister and Reggie are dead because they've been cornered by balls? Like, nah, like they're obviously not because they've done this like, you know, like two films now where they're obviously not. So it kind of takes a little bit of the weight out of that ending. Like, it's just like a bit of a jump scare, but like by this point I'm kind of like, okay, I think we all know what's gonna happen. And then like it's just gonna be written out of like in the quickest, stupidest way possible in like how is that gonna pan out in the fourth one?
So the fourth one from 1999,
it's gonna be a dream or something.
Five years later, Phantasm 4, Oblivion. Now, I don't know. I'm really hoping from that title, Oblivion, I want two things, right? I am ready now to fully descend into the tall man's dimension.
I want
his throne room. I want, like, infinite corridors of hell and, like, all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would be so delighted to see a movie set in that space with Reggie and Kevin McAllister.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe we'll see more of Jodie and bull-headed Michael.
Yeah. And then I assume that they will be back.
The other thing I demand is more Rocky.
Yes, I would love some more Rocky.
Yeah, like hopefully like they write out of it in the next film that Rocky just shows up and is like, nah, I changed my mind, I'm back. Nunchuck, 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 let's run.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be so easy to do, actually. Just show, like, so you start part four by showing the ending of part three. Show, like, Reggie getting ganged up on and all of this by all the balls, the tall man coming up. Then you intercut that with Rocky sitting in a car. It's been like, I just can't leave Reggie.
Yeah.
You know, I'll always regret not knowing what his peen was really like.
What a ride. What a ride.
So in summary, definitely enjoyed it. Definitely a good... If you enjoyed the previous Phantasm film, definitely watch this one as well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, you know, if we're saying that this is, like, not our favourite, I would actually agree with, like, how the IMDb rating of it has gone, because it has got the lowest rating so far, but it's still so close to the others.
I can't believe we're still above a six. It's mental.
It's only like the lowest out of the three that we've watched, just because one of them has to be. It's still like a really fun film.
It's incremental. The one thing I guess it doesn't have is, like, the first one's got a lot of like real kind of grandeur to it. It's quite slow in places, and it's got a lot of space and a lot of sort of more like dreaminess. Like, you talked about how the score has a lot of room to breathe in the first one and really set up that atmosphere. And that, you know, a lot of it is just these sort of slow-mo shots of Michael staring into the night and the tall man walking through graveyards. We don't get like any breathing room in this one.
Yeah, this one is relentless. This one is like...
And that's cool in its own way. It's cool in its own way, but it just doesn't have the same sort of gravitas.
I mean, this one is like the... and we talked about aliens in the... We're talking about the last film, but like this is kind of like the aliens to the alien, in that this one is like the balls to the wall, crazy action flick, compared to like the more kind of slow, ooky, spooky kind of guy. Yeah, I mean, I'm still thoroughly on board for this franchise. Can't wait to see what happens in the next one.
And I hope that you listeners will return next time to hear how that goes with us. Until then, I am Todd Jordan.
I'm Tom Denny.
If you want to drop us a line on Twitter @BitterEndPod or on Facebook @BitterEndPod, we would love to hear from you.
Until next time, keep them balls clean.
Dude, gross.
Yeah, sorry.
Crematorium beans!